Thank you, Xincheng and Yin, for leading us in our time together. Welcome to the 9 a.m. service. For those who do not know me, I'm Roger, one of the pastors here. And today we're going to talk about wealth in Proverbs. Should I or should I not spend money on this? How often do we ask this question? I don't know about you, but I am a self-confessed online shopper. Right, from books to electronics to clothes to shoes, I buy them online. Now, I usually don't have time to go to shopping malls, and I personally don't like hanging around shopping malls. Of course, the pain of online shopping is that we look nothing like the model on those websites. We just delude ourselves thinking that we look as good as the model as long as we wear those clothes. See, whenever I receive emails from all these online shopping sites and there are things which caught my eye, I will constantly ask myself the question, should I or should I spend money on this? Do I really need this product? See, after considering or even postponing the purchase for a few weeks, I might eventually still click on the buy button and wait eagerly for the product to appear at my door. Now, it won't be long before I read news of refugees and poverty in many countries. And then I will receive emails from many of my missionary friends who describe the difficult financial situations of people they minister to. And then when I come across such news, then there will be this uneasy feeling and perhaps even a tinge of guilt for buying what I've just bought online. Shouldn't I have given that amount to people who don't even have food to eat or have no money to buy medicine? You see, wealth is an ambiguous, uneasy topic, especially for people like us in an affluent country. Is it okay for us to buy a big house, such a luxurious car, or to go on an expensive holiday? Should I buy the new iPad Pro, especially when I have already iPad 2, 3, 4, new iPad Pro? Really? iPad Air already at my home? iPad Mini even? Answer? Of course not. Buy the Windows Surface Pro, because it's much better. But more seriously, we want to know what God is concerned about wealth. See, wealth is a fairly big topic throughout the whole of the Bible, and no less in the book of Proverbs. What is God concerned about wealth in Proverbs? So let me start by giving us some guidelines about reading Proverbs, and it's not just for wealth, but for any topic. Firstly, we cannot read a particular proverb saying, and then make conclusions about the topic. For example, if you read this, a bribe is like a magic stone in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. That sounds bad, right? How can it be found in the Bible? And then we read the next verse. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. See, so we need to read all of Proverbs in order to know what the proverb says about a particular topic. And for us now, as Christians, we need to know the whole of the Bible, what the whole scriptures say about the topic before we can draw conclusive ideas about the topic. Secondly, not all proverb sayings are promises from God. See, they are not 100% guaranteed consequences of the actions people take. They are, however, a general observation of reality. See, things will generally work out in this way, in this world, which God has created, but not always. Thirdly, proverbs are not necessarily commands to behave in a certain way. However, proverbs reflect how God orders the world he created. God wants his people to act in a certain way that is congruent to that order. And the sayings in Proverbs encourages us and warns us to do so. Now, but we know the world is in a fallen state, and many things are not what they are supposed to be. So that is why we need wisdom from God. Wisdom from the Creator God will help us to navigate through this world so that we may be found faithful and righteous. So with that in mind, let us dive into what we can learn about wealth in Proverbs. Firstly, wealth is a gift and a blessing from God. Next slide. It reads there, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." In other words, God is the one who gave wealth and riches to his people as a blessing. Right? So that means that we don't need to feel guilty about having wealth. Right? Sometimes the Bible seems to have quite a bit of things to say about negative things to say about the rich, but wealth itself is not the problem. It is a blessing, it's a gift from God. But secondly, wealth is also a task. A task in the sense that people need to do something in order to gain it. We see on the next slide. "In all toil there is profit, but mere talk tends only to poverty. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man." So it tells us that in order to gain wealth, there's a need to work hard. We cannot merely talk about it and think that money will drop from the sky. Diligence is needed. On the other hand, if one is lazy, a little rest, a little slumber, a little Instagram, a little computer game, a little YouTube, and poverty will come on us quickly and aggressively. I guess Proverbs 6, verse 10 to 11 is the favorite passage of parents, right? Including me. It's often used to warn their children not to be lazy, but to study diligently instead. But it's equally applicable to us as adults. If we spend our time carelessly on social media, TV, and games. But we must also note that Proverbs 13, verse 23 provides us a qualifier. "A fallow ground of the poor would yield much food, but it is swept away through injustice." See, while wealth generally is a blessing and is a result of diligence, we cannot work the equation backwards. Right? In other words, we cannot simply conclude that all those who are not wealthy are lazy and they are not blessed. Wrong conclusion. Because many of the Proverbs sayings work on a ceteris paribus principle. Now, for all those non-economic students here, it is the all things remain equal principle. It is true if there are no other changes in conditions. Right? If you are diligent, you get wealth. All things remain equal. But in reality, nothing remains equal because we are in a fallen world. So verse 23 tells us that poverty can be a result of injustice and not inaction. People could be cheated of their life savings. Poverty could also be the result of oppression or war. See, as we look around the world, we know it is true. Because many have lost homes, wealth because of war. So for us, while wealth is still generally a blessing, a result of diligence, yet injustice can take it all away. And thirdly, Proverbs also tells us that wealth has certain benefits. Next slide. "The poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends." See, when I was studying in secondary school, there was a classmate of mine who was quite rich. So we had classmates who started to flock to him and hung around him frequently. And one of the reasons was because he would bring his friends to his father's country club. He would sign them in, let them enjoy the facilities, and pay their meals by signing it off on their father's account. Are you having fears? Well, that continued until his father got angry and stopped him from doing that. And before his father stopped him, people were just gathering around him constantly. But they don't normally gather around someone who was poor. The rich has many friends. And then I remember watching a video of experiment of how sales assistants in shops respond to different people. See, as part of the experiment, they first sent a shabbily dressed person into a fairly upmarket shop, right? And the shop assistants didn't care about the shabbily dressed person. And it was seen even walking away instead of engaging this customer. And after that, they sent in a well-groomed lady wearing elegant clothes, carrying branded goods. And suddenly, all the sales assistants sprung to life. They walked briskly to the lady, smiled brightly at her, and started to engage her. See, once again, it tells us of a harsh reality that the rich attracts friends. Of course, Proverbs here did not provide further description of what kind of friends they are. It is merely an observation, but I guess the subtle message is that such friends are not reliable. But still, the rich have no lack of friends, whatever kind they are. Well, Proverbs 10 verse 15 also tells us that the rich has another benefit. See, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. See, wealth can indeed give us a certain level of security and confidence. With wealth, we can buy whatever we want or whatever we need. We may be less worried about medical bills, less worried about housing, education. If we have wealth, we can afford to send kids overseas. Even when we die, we could leave behind a good inheritance for our children. But we come to point two. However good and beneficial wealth is, it still has its limitation. And what are the limitations? Well, firstly, the possession of wealth is temporal. Okay? It is not lasting. You see on the slide? Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle toward heaven. See, my friends, the end of August this year was pretty scary for many who work in the finance industry. See, the China stock market recorded its highest one-day plunge in 8 years. And this plunge, sent fear throughout the Asian markets, followed by the Western markets. And according to The Economist, the magazine, more than $5 trillion was wiped off on the global stock markets during that 1 week. You see, the imagery here in verse 5 paints that picture quite clearly for us. It's like cash notes having wings flying away. Wealth might come and they might go. See, and verse 4 tells us to be discerning enough not to overwork ourselves for money, because it's not worth it. It's not worth it because wealth is temporal. Well, wealth is not only temporal in the gains and the losses, but secondly, it's also temporal because life itself on earth is temporal. You see, Proverbs 11 verse 7 tells us that when the wicked dies, his hope will perish and the expectation of wealth perishes too. See, the hope of having wealth perishes along with the end of life. It does not last. You see, I often heard of older people telling me that they had no money when they were younger to enjoy all the luxurious food, the fun, the cars, the houses that they have. But when they have money in their latest years, they have no health to enjoy them. They start having gout, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and diabetes. And I'm not talking about you. You see, as their hopes of wealth are fulfilled, their hopes of enjoying them are simultaneously dashed with age. But that's not the greatest limitation. The greatest limitation of wealth is that wealth itself has no real value before God. See, Proverbs 11 verse 4 says, that riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. See, we cannot bribe
or spend our way out of God's judgment. See, the amount of wealth we have is not a criterion before God, but righteousness is the criterion. Only righteousness can deliver us from God's wrath. And we can only have righteousness if we have God's wisdom. And that is why Proverbs keeps emphasizing to us to acquire wisdom above all things, right? We see in the slide. How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. My friends, wisdom is better than any riches. It teaches us to live righteously and faithfully, and we may escape God's wrath. See, but while wealth itself is temporal, it's not lasting, but on the other hand, there are some lasting effects associated with wealth. It's wealth does not last, but the way we acquire wealth has lasting effects. See, the ways used in the acquisition of wealth has eternal consequences. This applies to both the rich and poor because we are mostly in the process of gaining wealth. It's not just for the rich. See, we have already mentioned earlier that God's way for us to acquire wealth is to be diligent, right? Keep working at it. We have to work hard, acquire wealth, little by little. However, Proverbs also tells us there are many other unrighteous ways which others have used in the acquisition of wealth. So Proverbs warns us not to follow those ways because they have serious and lasting consequences. Let us look at a few Proverbs before us. Maybe you can read it responsibly. I read the black one, you read the blue one. Unequal weights are an abomination to the Lord, and four scales are not good. Your turn. Now, all these sayings tells us that God hates deceit. See, Proverbs 20 verse 23 paints a picture of how business were done at that time. Okay, even this is not old enough, right? Merchants will weigh their goods in front of the customer and charge them a price according to the weights. They do it by using something like this, a seesaw or a hanging scale, where goods are put on one side and blocks of weights are added on the other side until the whole thing balances to show the weight. So merchants can gain deceptive wealth simply by making false weights. They can make weights that are lighter than what they represent so they can charge more for less goods. See, chapter 11, verse 18 also tells us that those who use such deceptive ways will gain deceptive wages. Because such deceptive methods and wages make them think they can go on forever doing this. However, wisdom says that it's only those who act righteously who will get a sure reward instead. Now, we can't help but the thing of the recent Volkswagen scandal, right? The biggest car manufacturer in the world deceives the world by faking the amount of carbon emission in their diesel engines. We're quite safe, we don't have diesel engines. But did such deceptive ways make money for them? Yes, it did. But only temporarily. Now they face multiple lawsuits and a tarnished reputation will haunt them for a long time to come. I guess perhaps for those who are running our own business here, this is a serious warning. Do not try to cut corners. Do not try to give empty promises, which you cannot deliver in order to earn a contract, to earn a deal, because in the end, it does not pay. But for many of us who work for others, this saying also helps us not to practice deceit in our work. We have to give our rightful time, our rightful energy in our work and not spend them on excessive internet surfing, WhatsApping during work. Because we may end up not being able to do our work properly or perhaps even lose our jobs. Now, secondly, Proverbs also tells us not to look for quick money. See on the verse? Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Now, we often see on the internet or on the newspaper on how to make quick money and big money, right? There's always come out this pop-up thing. I make $1 million a day while just staying at home. Whoa. Quick money is often deceptive and probably gained through unrighteous ways. And the chances are that kind of money will dwindle away. See, someone shared with me the other time that when he was still young, he picked up $1,600 on the street. $1,600 on the street. I don't know who will carry that amount of money, but he picked that up. But not being a Christian then, or not really, he did not hand over that money to the police. He decided to spend that money. And it was all spent within a day for a young man. $1,600. In those days, it's harder to spend that money. Today, you just buy one phone, right? But what this tells us is that easy come, easy go. So be careful of quick money. When if it doesn't pain you to earn that money, it's easy for you to spend that money. Now, of course, now I'm not saying that we give up all good opportunities that come before us. But at the same time, we must be careful that there are righteous means to acquire wealth, and there are also unrighteous means to acquire wealth. But thirdly, the way we acquire wealth can also affect our families, right? We see on the verse. Same thing, I'll read the black, you read the blue. Better is a table of herbs where love is than a fattened cow and hatred with it. Your turn. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. See, these things in Proverbs tells us that it's better to have a happy and peaceful home than to have wealth. See, if the acquisition of wealth creates hatred and strife, then it is not worthwhile getting it. And Proverbs is saying to us that these scenarios play up when we acquire wealth out of greed or by unjust ways. Now, this reminds me of a 1993 movie called Indecent Proposal. Don't show your hands. I'll leave it there. 1993. How many of you are old enough to watch it then? Right? The story is about a pair of high school sweethearts, right? David, played by Woody Harrelson. I know you don't know. Right? And Diana Murphy, played by Demi Moore. That one you might know. See, they are a married couple who have traveled to Las Vegas, hoping that they could win enough money at a casino to finance David's real estate business. But they lost all their money there in one shot. See, after gambling all of their savings, they met this billionaire called John Gage, played by Robert Redford. See, Gage is attracted to Diana, and he offered them $1 million to spend a night with her. Now, after a difficult night, David and Diana decided to accept the offer, and a contract is signed the next day. So Diana spent a night with Gage on a private yacht. See, although David, the husband, he had hoped to forget this whole incident, get the money and be happy about it. But he grew increasingly insecure about his relationship with Diana and was consumed with a fear that she will remain involved with Gage. And as this tension builds up over time, David and Diana separated. So the movie ends with Diana filing for divorce. While David signed the divorce papers, but he gave the $1 million away. They eventually reconciled and remarried again. See, while the movie is not a real story, it does make us wonder how much we are willing to give up in order to acquire wealth. Will it come at the cost of peace and love in the family? Or perhaps the cost might be the family itself. But my friends, the most lasting consequence in the wrongful acquisition of wealth is actually God's judgment. It says that the getting of treasure by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor and a snare of death. Your turn. More than just a pain to yourself or to your family, God will not let those who acquire wealth in the wrong way go unpunished. Even if the punishment does not happen in this earthly life, the whole of Scripture tells us that God will eventually punish people for their sins. So my friends, be careful of such wealth. See, wealth itself may not be lasting, but the acquisition of wealth has lasting effects. But that's not all. The use of wealth also has lasting effects. See, wealth can be a very useful tool if we use it for the right purposes. See, but at a very basic level, we use wealth to buy food, buy housing, transportation. But we can do more with it. One good use of wealth is in helping the poor. See, God does not particularly favor the poor, but he cares for them because in our fallen world, they are often vulnerable and usually oppressed. So in Proverbs, people are encouraged to help the poor. We see on the slide. Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. See, indeed, God is pleased with those who are generous, and he will reward them. The reward is not the ultimate motivation, but that is how a good and just God ordered this world he has created. But on the other hand, God will judge those who do not care for the poor. Whoever closes his eye to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Your turn. And that's not all. Right? We are also warned not to oppress the poor. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their case and rob of life those who rob them. Then? See, God will punish those who oppress others or who close an eye to the poor. See, in the end, the oppressor's life will be taken away from them just as they have taken from the poor. The reason is because every human being is made by God. There's no difference. The rich and the poor are both his creation. Oppressing the poor insults God, the Maker. And this Maker ensures that justice will be done. You know, when I was much younger, I used to be very small, short, scrawny. Well, not that I'm any better now. But I have an elder brother, a year older than me, but who is much taller, much bigger than I am. Right? I always complain that he took all my vitamins, took everything from me. But I often follow him around to play basketball in the community centers. See, being small, I could be easily pushed around, bullied by others. But whenever that happens, my brother, the big, tall man, will come in and start staring down at the bully from his height. See, my brother got my back. So don't mess around with my brother. See, but we have a far bigger and a far stronger God who watches over us. See, if we are poor, take heart that God knows. And trust that God provides and God judges. If we are wealthy, then may we be careful not to flaunt our wealth by bullying those who are less wealthy, and perhaps many of them are our subordinates. For God himself is the maker of all people. Now, apart from using our wealth to benefit the poor, another good use is to point others to Jesus. Now, we have said earlier that wealth can sometimes draw friends, right? Well, they may or may not be true friends. But those who have wealth can command certain attention from friends. And I have heard of people in Sydney and in Singapore and probably in many countries who have used their wealth for evangelism. They hosted banquets, invited people in their name to hear the gospel at the banquets. And these are people who wouldn't easily walk into a church to hear a sermon like this. But the clout of the wealthy can sometimes give them an opportunity to hear the gospel. Of course, not many of us are that wealthy to hold a banquet for so many people. But we don't have to be healthy in order to use it for God's kingdom. Because the poor widow in Luke chapter 21 has only 2 copper coins and Jesus commended her gift to God. So no matter how much or how little we have, we can still use them for this great endeavor. And isn't it true that our discipleship groups have done that at Let's Carnival? They came out with money, every small group, to run the stores and bless the community, right? And I also know of DGs who just held their own evangelistic events. Everybody just chip in to pay for the cost. See how wonderful it is. Such use of wealth has lasting and eternal effects. So we can have better use of our money to achieve lasting positive effects and not negative effects. So there's nothing wrong in spending. But Proverbs tells us a fool will only spend it on pleasures. We are told to be prudent instead. However, being prudent is far from being stingy. See, as one scholar says, not spending is admirable, but not a value in itself. Okay, not spending is admirable, but not a value in itself. See, the parable of the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21, warns us not to be stingy, but to be generous instead. Because the rich fool keeps thinking of building a bigger barn to store all his crops. His aim is that so that he can store enough that he can take life easy and be merry for the rest of his life. But Jesus says he was not rich towards God. Giving to God and for his purposes did not feature in this rich fool's mind at all. It was all about himself. But Jesus says his life will be demanded of him and he will have nothing for himself. See, Paul Koptak, a scholar, said that the difference between stealing and hoarding is that one takes what does not belong to us, while the other keeps what should belong to others. See, I studied in Sydney Missionary and Bible College for my theological training. It's an interdenominational college, so there are no readily available funds coming from any denomination to support their ministry. So they have to run a support drive, you know, every year. And in every year I was there, I was very encouraged by some very generous Christians. In fact, I don't know who they are. They never reveal themselves. But they will regularly offer a dollar to a dollar match of any donation received by the college. And the amount usually comes up to a few hundred thousands. And sometimes when it's a building drive, it's a few million dollars. A dollar to dollar match. What do you call that? I call that a very good use of wealth that is rich towards God. It has the lasting effects of producing pastors, missionaries who in turn bring more people to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, wealth itself is not lasting, but the use of it has lasting effects. And lastly, the greatest effect of wealth is that wealth is what wealth can do to us. You see, wealth can tell us a lot of lies, and they can be pretty convincing. Wealth can sometimes create the lie that, oh, I made it in life all by myself, right? But forgetting that it is ultimately God who gave it to us. It creates a wrong sense of pride in us. We might even begin to think that we are somewhat above others who are poorer. But Proverbs warns us against believing those lies. It says in 11:28, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf. Next slide. Read that for us. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination. My friends, these verses tell us that wealth can be powerful and a strong city. But if we place our trust in them and not in God, then it is only strong in our own imagination. It cannot ultimately protect us. Trevor Longman, an OT scholar, said this. See, in Proverbs, wealth is better than poverty. But as people use wealth to self-delude and delude others, then wealth is worse than poverty. Wealth can sometimes cloud the mind so that the rich think they have more resources than they do. It can breed conceit and a feeling of self-reliance. My friends, that's quite true, isn't it? When we have that delusion, we become slaves of wealth rather than a master of wealth. Instead of using wealth powerfully for God and others, we become powerless without it. My friends, Jesus has already warned us before. We cannot serve two masters. It is either God or money. My friends, Jesus himself was tested on this by Satan right at the beginning of his public ministry. Satan brought Jesus to a high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And then Satan offered Jesus the fastest track to wealth and possession. If only Jesus would worship him, all these will be his. But Jesus had true wisdom. Jesus knew that only God is worthy to be worshipped. And furthermore, it's not for Satan to give. All creation belongs to God, and you can say it belongs to Jesus too. But Jesus, the King of the whole world, humbled himself to become a man and died on the cross for us. For though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that through his poverty might become that we through his poverty might become rich. This is the ultimate wisdom about wealth. It's the ultimate generosity that brought us lasting forgiveness and eternal life. My friend, this is wisdom for us. As we see from Proverbs and from Jesus' generosity, may we also be challenged to be ever so thankful to the wealth that he's given us, to trust him when we don't have it, to acquire wealth honestly, to resist the delusions of power and of importance, but to be generous in using our wealth to bring about lasting effects to the lives of others. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for your blessing of wealth unto us. There might be some among us that struggles with wealth and not having enough. But Father, we trust that God, that you say that you will look after us. And may we not be worried about what we do not have, and to trust that you will provide. But for many of us who have, may you help us to be aware that all this wealth do not last, but may we use it, may we acquire it with lasting effects. And as we come to the Lord's Supper, we pray, God, that you will help us to remember the generosity of the Lord Jesus. Because though he was rich, he gave himself up to become poor, that through his poverty that we may become rich. May that remind us, encourage us, enable us to be wise about wealth. In Jesus' name we pray.